Recording. Okay. Ready? One, two, ready, go. Hello, welcome everybody. This is your host, Andy Joe.
You are looking live at the sold-out BWE Wrestling Arena, where tonight, in front of a sold-out house of two fans, this is the BWE Biscuit Wrestling Enterprises. I'm your host, Big Cab, along with... I'm sorry, was I speaking too loud?
Well, I'm going to have to change all the levels. You know I cannot use any of that. You sound like freaking Vince McMahon on steroids when you're talking like that. Today's a special episode because, as all biscuits, we have cycles. We're very cyclical in nature in our interests. And right now, we both are in the same cycle. We're cycling together, and we're both into...
Well, not really.
No? Oh, you're not. Oh, well, then
no,
I am.
You're misunderstanding.
Oh, what?
For me...
you're
okay,
always...
I'll let you... Yeah, I was going to say, it's like you with comics. You're always in comics.
Oh, I'm not, though. I'm not. That is incorrect. That's incorrect. I'm not always
in
comics.
You're always in role-playing games.
I don't know what I'm always in.
All right, you're cyclical.
I'm cyclical. You are not, I guess.
I'm
anyway,
not.
I am now on the freaking WWE bandwagon train, crazy train, and you are the conductor. You've been the conductor. So we are both talking wrestling this whole episode. We're just going to talk wrestling. We're just going to talk about professional wrestling. We're going to go heel. We're going to go face. We're going to go kayfabe. We're going to do it all.
So if you're one of the biscuits,
if you were a biscuit
that hates wrestling.
They just
can't
don't
get
listen.
Over the fact that
they
it's
just don't
choreographed, fake, staged, whatever it, the hell you want to call it.
It's none of that. It's entertainment. It's sports
but
entertainment.
Whatever you want to call it, whatever your hang-up with WWE is, y'all might as well just check out. Because this episode, and probably whatever future episodes for the next, I'm guessing 2-3 weeks that we do.
Right.
Are probably going to be wrestling centric.
Yeah.
Probably going to hear a lot of my stories about from when I was involved in wrestling. Because Andy's going to ask me things. We're going to talk about wrestlers that we've met.
Yep.
We're going to talk about great storylines that we've seen.
Yep.
We're going to do all that.
We're going to do all that stuff. So first, let's just start us off. Let's just start us up. Okay. First, we have to talk about last night's Raw. Oh, sorry. This is Wednesday. We need to talk about June the 17th's Raw.
The reason we say last night's Raw is because neither one of us has cable. So we watch it on Big Hulu Plus.
I watched it on Hulu Plus, which actually is a little disappointing because you only get an hour and a half or whatever out of the 3-hour show.
Yeah, but you know what? That gives them an opportunity to go, okay, that sucked. We don't need to show that. That sucked. Most weeks it was not good. This week, I understand we missed out a couple of good things.
Yeah, so that's what I don't like. Also, I don't like that even if you do watch the whole thing live, you still never get a full match because they always go to commercial in the middle of the match and you come back after who knows who got suplexed or what happened. That kind of annoys me. So
yeah, nothing
that's
happens
my
in the commercial breaks. If you, I've been to many.
No, they're punching. They're punching each other or something.
Dude,
close,
I have been to many Monday Night Raws. I've been to many SmackDowns, even pay-per-views.
Uh-huh.
The way they do it is, yeah, they do a little bit of moves, but they do just enough for a big, while we're break, this happened, and Ding Dong does a big tope con hilo over the top rope and lands on the guy. But most of that is spent in recovering, arguing with the referee, chin lock.
Right.
It's wrestling.
Okay. Okay. So they're just farting around. So they're just working. They're really not doing any storytelling. Saying.
Yeah, they're not doing a big bunch of stuff. They might jackass with the live crowd some.
Right.
But there's not a lot of that.
So let's talk a little bit about Raw. I literally just watched it like 10 minutes ago. And really, there's only one thing to talk. Well, there's a couple things we can talk about. But the one big thing to me.
Did you watch the end angle? Now, did you watch
yes.
the second
no, no,
angle?
No, no, no. Yeah, we got to watch it. We got to talk about that too. But let's start this off with. Let's start us off and talk about Mark Henry.
Okay, let me tell you
okay. Can I say right now? Okay, go and say something, but then I want to say what I felt as I watched it. But go ahead.
I got to tell you about Mark Henry. This is a guy who I have grown over the years to adore. Because
as far as a skill, as skill in the ring, or a character, or as a person,
just
what?
A person. Because he put up, here's the deal about Mark Henry. Let me give you the background on Mark Henry. Because this is something that you missed. Mark Henry was in the 1996 Olympics, same Olympics Kurt Angle won, the gold medal right. wrestling. Mark Henry was a power lifter. He was favored to win the gold medal. WWE came along and said, hey, you need money to go do this. Here's what we'll do. We'll fund your training. But you've got to, we want you to sign with us, come along with us. Because they thought, this guy's going to be a gold medal winner in powerlifting.
Right.
He's going to be a natural.
Right.
Right?
Right. You know,
it's a deal. So he comes along. Well, he gets injured in training, doesn't even get the bronze, I don't think. He might have got the bronze. So he kind of washed out. But they still, they've got him under contract. There was no clause that says you don't win the gold medal, you don't be a shit. And but they right. still got him. They're gonna try to make lemons out of lemonade or lemonade out of lemons. So they brought him in like a month after the Olympics and tried to have him work his first match. Mm-hmm. And they had him work against Jerry Lawler. Now that's a great idea, having him against somebody like Jerry Lawler. Jerry Lawler's a veteran. But that match was so bad.
He's also an ass. But that's another story.
Jerry Lawler?
Yeah, I don't like him.
As a person or as a wrestler?
No, as a commentator. I don't like his personality right now as a commentator.
I've never liked him as a commentator, but I
yeah.
like him.
Yeah. So yeah. Yeah, he might be a good person, but his commentating with the little comments and remarks and stuff is just I can't handle.
Jerry Lawler's a side issue. Let's not take that rabbit trail.
Okay.
We got to stick on Mark Henry.
Because we got to talk about his heart attack.
We start going off down rabbit okay. trails. We go off down damn rabbit trails. Let me tell you something. Jerry Lawler's about a 3-year rabbit trail. I'm telling you.
Serious.
So, Mark Henry. So, they go, God, we signed this guy. He's greener than grass. He sucks. We got to send him back for training. Little fact. They ended up reusing his first theme song, and it became Kurt Angle's iconic theme song.
I like Curtis Axel's theme song. For some reason, I like that stupid song.
Well, because it's Mr. Perfect's theme song remixed.
It's good. It's good, Biscuit.
Anyway, let's not get off on Curtis Axel.
Because that's somebody else we got to talk about. Okay.
Yeah, there's another trail with Curtis Axel. So Mark Henry. So they send him down to developmental. And they try to make him lose a bunch of weight.
Right.
I don't know what the
Not
hell.
Gonna happen.
What the hell are you doing? You signed a giant heffalump. He didn't gain that weight after you signed him.
He's a big boy.
He's hefty.
Yeah.
So they sent him down to developmental. He farts around down there for a while. They end up bringing him back in the Nation of Domination, which was this big Black Panthers.
I don't know them. I don't know them. Okay.
They were Black Panthers. It was Farouk. It was D'Lo Brown. The Rock started in that group.
I do like D'Lo Brown.
Yeah, that's where they made their
biggie. D'Lo Brown is now with the Aces and Eights.
Yeah, that's a rabbit trail I don't care to go down.
Well, we do need. Hey, this isn't just about WWE. There's other wrestling, but go ahead, keep going.
I deny TNA's existence.
Hey, Kurt Angle's still there. Kurt Angle's doing good work.
Kurt Angle retired in 2005, but anyway.
No, he did not, Biscuit. Oh, in your mind, you mean? In your mind. Okay.
So, TNA is a word on the
Obama's not my president either, but okay.
Right.
Obama's not my president. He's not my president.
I hope that changes. So, anyway, so Mark Henry goes down to developmental. So then they start trying, they sign this guy to a retardedly big contract, like $1 million a year for 10 years. I mean, just outrageous. Austin wasn't making that at the time.
Right.
So they're trying to break the contract. So they start sticking him with humiliating ass gimmicks. They give him
Right, this is where you were telling me. Yeah.
they give him the gimmick of sexual chocolate.
Sex
They
chocolate,
put him
right.
with Mae Young as his love interest, who Mae Young is comedy. I don't care. Mae Young is and by the way, here's just a quick little note. Write down the title Lipstick and Dynamite. That's a movie you need to see.
Okay.
You desperately need to see Lipstick and Dynamite. Anyway, okay. It's all about the women wrestlers from the
Okay.
Mae Young, Moolah, Gladys Killam Gillam. It's that damn thing is comedy. Anyway, so Mark Henry, but God bless him. He's not dummy. He's no dummy. He's like, hey, you can. I'll have be the father to Mae Young's baby. I don't care. Still gonna pay me $1 million a year. Cut the check.
Right.
So he perseveres. So then right. they send him back down to developmental for another couple of years. And in developmental, he starts developing as a wrestler. He actually starts to develop some skills. He's learning right. He's learning how to move in the ring. He learned how to do stuff like leapfrogs. He was learning down there.
Right.
To say, you know, at 400 pounds, he could do a leapfrog.
Right.
I mean, this guy, and he also started to learn to cut promos down there, which is something to this, till last night, they've never turned him loose on a promo.
So let me, and let's get to that, because that is what was amazing.
Then they brought him back and they made him a monster heel for a bunch of years when he actually did go and win the World's Strongest Man competition. He legitimately won that.
So I am watching this, right? And you, so first off, you set me up perfectly. Can I
did
say?
That on purpose, yes.
You set me up perfectly.
With the joy that I
because you were like, he's retiring, and I was crying, and I was so emotional. I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to watch this.
Because Mark Henry, see, we're going to take a little pause in tonight's action as Andy negotiates with his wife. This time.
Foot long.
So
I'm like watching it. Okay, I got my baby boy in my hand, my arms. I'm kind of trying to get him quiet down to go to sleep, and I'm watching this. And he comes out here with this pink jacket, and he starts talking.
Salmon.
And he is crying, and I am sucking. Yeah. And you know what? I am sucking this up, and I'm eating
well,
this.
Well, see, it, what you didn't see is the way they built this up over the last couple of weeks, because about 3 weeks ago, maybe more than that, about a month ago. He went home all of a sudden with an injury. And now people don't know if it was a real injury or not. But he went home with this injury, and WWE was mad at him because they had him programmed for a main event feud. But he had time off, and so he came back. He's gone. People start talking crap like he was going to retire all of a sudden. He starts putting out these tweets of, I ain't retiring. You think I'm retiring? You come to my face. And... So he was saying he wasn't retiring. Well, then all of a sudden yesterday or Monday, he puts out, or Sunday, whenever it was, he put out these tweets that, you know, I'm going to Monday Night Raw. I have a big announcement. You know, Father Time is undefeated is what he said.
Yeah, yeah.
So the rumor gets out on the internet. He's tapping. He's not.
This is brilliant, though. But this was a brilliant, like, social media thing to pull off, you know what I mean? It was great because you got all the marks and everybody loving this and knowing ahead of time or thinking they know ahead of time what's going to happen.
Thank you, Mark.
I mean, they were doing all this stuff
to the ring.
Yeah.
Ball, and I mean, I to give him an Academy Damn Award. Denzel could not have pulled it off the way.
No, I'm serious. I was totally buying it. Now, here's the thing. Cena knew this was an act, you know, they talked about this before. You know, yeah, this wasn't like, you know, but he did a great job too of going along with this. And so I totally did not see this coming from a mile a freaking way, dude. Not at all. So, When that happened, and basically for those of you who haven't seen it, you know, Mark Henry grabs freaking John Cena.
And
at first you think it's a hug, but it ain't no dingum hug. He grabs that mofo and slams him down in the classic body slam he does.
It's called the world's strongest slam, yeah.
Is that what he calls it?
Mm-hmm.
And It was just gnarly, dude. And he's like, I got more in my tank. I ain't done. You think I'm that easy?
That's what I do.
That's what I do. And for some reason, he just went in the stratosphere of heels, dude. He just went, like,
I
to be.
I personally think he went fist there. The crowd loved it. The crowd just
Well, they loved it because he's not done, right? He's still going to be around.
No, it's because they hate John Cena's ass.
No, you know what? I didn't see. Okay, I felt that the audience was 65-70% pro Cena. And maybe that was the editing. Maybe they just shot, you know, the camera went on to the cute little kids with the
Cena
gear.
That's it.
Maybe that's what it is.
Because that's why Cena's still a face. Cena would have healed on the crowd a long ass time ago if he didn't have a bunch of make-a-wish kids. I'm not kidding. He's done make-a-wish than anybody else in history.
And well, he's and I think that's cool. I mean, I think that's great, right? Say what you will.
The other thing is that he sells more damn merchandise than anybody else on the roster.
There you go. He's got actually kind of a cool, unique style and brand for the clothes and the hats and stuff. No one else has. You know what I mean? So it's good.
So they can't put him heel.
Yeah.
So they're really painted in a corner.
Yeah. And you know, he if he were here on the show, you know, we might have him as a guest one day. But, you know, he'd probably would say he wouldn't mind being heel for a couple years, right?
Well, he was a heel originally. I mean, that character started as a heel.
Yeah. So my first question for you guys. Oh, yeah. So let's keep going, though. So that was a major event. What did you think of the new feud of CM Punk and Brock Lesnar?
I think they had to turn CM Punk face.
Oh, yeah. After Payback in Chicago, he had to go face. But for him to go face, that means he's going against Paul Heyman, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is.
And so, because Paul's got to stay heel. So he leaves Paul Heyman, and then that means that somehow Brock is going to be the hitman, or somehow he's going to either work for, I don't know, we don't really know what, but he's doing
Brock
something.
Brock Lesnar has always worked for Paul Heyman. Since he's been back, that's been the pair.
Yeah.
So you've got Kurt Axel. You've got.
Yeah.
I can't stand, for some reason, I just can't call him Curtis. I just won't call him Kurt. Kurt Axel.
Oh, okay. Is it going by Curtis Axel?
It's Curtis Axel.
Oh, yeah. Is it?
But that just seems nappy to me, so I call him Kurt Axel. So, anyway, so I really enjoy it. I think that's going to be good. I love CM Punk. I want to adopt him.
So my first question for us, we each get 5 minutes. Who right now in the WWE roster do you totally mark out for? Who's your top guys that you mark out for?
Oh, man, that's tough.
Just give me a handful of the guys you really love. You love
like when I hear the music.
CM Punk
is one.
When you
hear the music, it's like, oh crap, here we go.
Yes, yeah, CM Punk is one. Okay, you
CM
said that.
Punk, Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
William Regal.
Really, really.
Oh, I love William Regal.
He doesn't even wrestle anymore, though. He isn't just doing commentary for NXT?
He wrestled last night. The match wasn't on there, but he wrestled.
Oh, did he?
Cesaro.
Oh, I hate Cesaro. But yeah.
I love that guy, but I don't mark for him, but I love him.
Yeah. Who else? I'll give you some of mine.
Paul Heyman.
Paul Heyman? I guess you could mark for, though. I guess you
could. And in a way, I guess you could see Caitlyn.
Who? Caitlyn? Really?
Oh. But that's in a way that I'm kind of embarrassed about. So.
And that's okay. You think she's cute? That's fine. That's fine. I mark out for Brock Lesnar. I don't know why. When I saw Brock last night, I was like, oh, crap, that's awesome. Like, I don't know why. I really like Brock. I was marking out for Alberto Del Rio, so I'm curious if I still will now that he's healed.
Andy, I gotta pause because my daughter is attention starved at the moment.
Sure.
You cannot play video games in my room because you make a mess in my room. Ding dong. please cut all that crap out. I don't want that on the show.
Serious, dude.
Anyway, okay. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Brock Lesnar, Alberto Del Rio, I was a mark for. I don't know if that'll stay. Who else do I really like? I do like CM Punk a lot. I think
What am I saying? Mark Henry.
Do you mark on Mark Henry?
I mark on Mark Henry, yes, because he makes me laugh. And I'm not the only one. If you read every week during Monday Night Raw and also during the pay-per-views, I think they do it on SmackDown too, but on FARC, they have an ongoing discussion thread about what's happening on the show. And Mark Henry is like, everybody loves this guy.
Really?
They have alternate lyrics to his theme song. Yeah. Somebody gonna get the Chex Mix. Somebody gonna get their pee squished. So that's the big thing, is getting their pee squished. So
I don't even know what that means, dude.
It's just because his lyrics to his song are so stupid. You know, somebody gonna get the ass kicked. Somebody gonna get the blah blah. And so, you know, they make up, you know, somebody gonna get the Chex Mix. Somebody gonna get the pee squished. I just find it funny. I get it. I like it. And so anyway, I laugh at the FARC thread every week. And that's part of where the Mark Henry thing comes from, because he's massively over. Plus, they have all these little memes and stuff that are just wrestling only. So anyway, who else do you mark out for? Brock Lesnar, who else?
Oh, Daniel Bryan, Brock, CM Punk, Alberto Del Rio. Those are probably my guys right off the top of my head. Oh, of course, Fandango. I totally mark out for Fandango, dude. And you know what?
Here's now a little story. He was supposed to win that Intercontinental title, but it went to Kurt Axel because he got injured.
Fandango did?
Yes, Fandango's injured.
Really?
Yep. Probably doing that stupid-ass leg drop off the top rope. Damn thing's a hip replacement waiting to happen for him.
Yeah, here's the thing. I really hope that he was a great wrestler, but I'm not so sure that's the case.
Boy, he needs a lot of work. I mean,
so you know, I see him, you know, of course he's against Jericho, which I already then like him more because I can't stand Jericho. Yeah. Not that Jericho's not a good wrestler and everything, but for some reason I just don't connect with him. I just do not connect with Jericho. And I don't know why, because in a way, he would be my guy. He should be my guy. But he's not. He's not my freaking guy. I can't take
him. You know what it is? He's always been a halfway. He's only been halfway good.
Is that what it is?
He's only been just. He was at his best in WWE when he was basically doing the Nick Bockwinkel character. If you watch him when he was the bad guy wearing the suits.
Mm-hmm.
He was basically doing Nick Bockwinkel's AWA character, which was, all of you plebeians out there don't understand what it takes to be a champion. I am a champion through and through. I am more than what you people deserve. You are lucky to be in my presence. You know, that kind of stuff. Big words and all that stuff.
Yeah, I just don't find him as cute and clever as I think he thinks he is. You know, the blah, 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 that kind of thing annoys me. There's these little things he does. They're just like, I'm not feeling you, bro.
Yeah. What about RVD? Are you excited about RVD showing
up? I am very excited about it, Van Damme. I am very excited. When I saw that promo, I was like, okay. The two things I'm excited about for the future of WWE. One is Van Damme, although I know I'll be disappointed. Because just age and so forth. It would be like the Road Dog, you know what I mean? It's like, I really don't want to see Road Dog anymore. It's just, right?
It's a little more extreme than that. Road Dog's talents haven't changed. His talent was, you didn't know?
Exactly.
RVD, you know, he might not be able to do them flips. Here's the thing about RVD. I want to know, this is what I'm assuming, and maybe I'm wrong. Have you spent a lot of time watching RVD matches?
Not in forever, not since the 90s.
Did you watch any at all back then? I mean,
Yeah.
I don't remember you being a big wrestling fan when RVD was around.
I do. Oh yeah, I remember him, dude. He had that like frog splash from the top rope type of thing he did.
Star frog splash.
He did a lot. Yeah, he did the kicks. He was kind of a flyer. He was a flyer, but he was kind of muscly. You know what I mean? He's kind of.
I'm assuming is that you are looking at him as a, as like looking at the highlight reels and going, damn, but not realizing that his match is kind of wank.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, anybody that comes back after 30 years, whatever it is.
Oh, yeah. Dude, they're going to get that welcome back pop.
Yeah, like if Bret the Hitman went back in the ring, I would die. I would cry.
Well, it was like what Christian did, like that pop Christian got.
Yeah, what was that about?
Pop. That was a welcome back pop.
Right.
Was, hey, holy shit, we know you. We love you. I'm glad you're back.
Yeah,
RVD will get more than that, though. RVD is a bit of a legend.
Yeah.
RVD, you know, especially to the potheads and stuff. Well, no, that's it. That was his gimmick in ECW. He's 420 this, 420 that.
Oh, was it?
I did, however, go to his comic book store in L.A. one time.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I think Mickey told me about that. You know, there's someone else that I'm excited about, too, coming into the team soon, which will be
Husky Harris?
No, that will be the Wyatt family.
That's Husky Harris.
Oh, is that Husky Harris?
Bray Wyatt, his first gimmick was Husky Harris.
I am very stoked to see them, just because
I love NXT.
I've seen about two or three of their matches. I mean, I think the, you know who I would love to see wrestle is them versus the guys on Ring of Honor, the Briscoes.
Yeah, the
That would be awesome. That would
them be, boys, the Briscoes.
That would be badass. But I've seen a couple matches on NXT. I just really love the promos they're cutting. Those video segments are really good.
I'd love it if we hadn't seen it one time before.
Yeah.
If we hadn't seen Waylon Mercy. Did you ever see Waylon Mercy?
I'd have to see a face. I'm not sure.
Let me see. He was a character. I'll text message you the name or send you the name so that you can.
Yeah, yeah. Do it through Skype here. I don't know if I've
seen.
Look
that guy up. Waylon Mercy, and they're both kind of riffs on Cape Fear is what they're kind of doing.
Right.
And Waylon Mercy was like a direct rip of Cape Fear, but it was brilliant. The only trouble was it was being played Big Danny Spivey. You remember Danny Spivey?
No.
Danny Spivey was Undertaker's tag team partner over in WCW. He was just a big dude is all he really was.
Oh, Dan Spivey. Wait, why did Dan Spivey come on when I typed in Waylon Mercy?
Because that's who Waylon Mercy is.
Oh.
Anyway, so Dan Spivey comes in WWE and WWF at the time, and he's wearing these white pants, and he cuts these promos. Good people, it's good to see everybody. I'm so glad I get to be here with y'all, you know.
Right.
You good people, you know. And he starts talking about squishing bugs, and he'd start just doing this subtle heel stuff. You know, these people, just like these wrestlers, their lives are going to be in Waylon Mercy's hands.
And what's up with the mark on his forehead? What's that all about?
Right, it was a big dagger. But the best thing he ever did was, and this used to just bust me up, I loved it, was his entrance. Because he'd come out and the music was real similar to that. You know, just brown, brown, down, a little swamp guitar kind of thing. And as he's coming out to the ring and he's a bad guy, he's shaking everybody's hand, he's stopping to talk to them. Hey, how you doing? Thank you for coming out to see Waylon Mercy tonight. I'm good. Is this your boy right here? And I'm busted up. And he gets in the ring and he's just vicious. Just vicious.
So you're saying that the Wyatts are similar to this guy?
Oh yeah, there's a lot of similarities. It's
the same kind of
Waylon Mercy, yes. But you know who's dad, you know who Waylon Mercy, I mean, not Waylon Mercy, Bray Wyatt, you know who what his name is, right?
It's Wyndham, right?
His first name is Wyndham. His last name is Rotundo. His dad is Mike Rotundo, IRS. He is actually Bo Rotundo, who's the new NXT champion. His brother.
Huh.
And actually, here's a little trivia for those of us. We're kind of Central Valley people. Bray Wyatt attended college, played football at College Sequoias in Visalia.
There you go. Huh. Yeah, I'm excited to see.
He was that first crop of NXT rookies. He was tag team partners with Curtis Axel, at the time known as Michael McGillicuddy. I think they actually won world tag team titles at one point. They were a fantastic group. I really liked that crew. Daniel Bryan was in that crew. Ryback was in that crew. I have no use for Ryback. Can we just agree on that? Do we need to go into why we don't have any use for Ryback?
Well, that's question number two I want to discuss today in the podcast.
We can get past the Wyatt family.
Question number two is, who are your top three people that you could do without on the roster? Who needs to go? Like right now, okay, you have no
Ryback
use for.
Ryback doesn't need to go. I mean, Ryback has a place on the roster. The guys that need to go, Kane needs to retire.
Oh, you're hurting me. He's such a good worker, though. He's such
Kane
a good worker.
He's got to go.
Because of Daniel Bryan, so that Daniel Bryan can become champion?
No, not because of that. Daniel Bryan gave him an extra 2 years in a career. And it seems like Kane just keeps it. Big Show's got to go. Who else has just got to go?
Please say Shamrock. You got to say Shamrock.
Sheamus.
That's what I meant. I said
yeah,
Shamrock.
I knew what you meant. Yes, Shamrock Shake needs to go.
You got to get rid of Shamrock Shake, dude. You got it. Okay, I got your third one. Miz. The Miz has got to go.
I don't hate the Miz.
Here's the thing. I just don't
Kofi
see what
Kingston
he does. I think either The Miz or Cody Rhodes, because both of them are in the middle.
Yeah, you leave Cody alone.
No, I'm taking Cody out. Here's the thing. They're both these middle tier guys. They just don't have a strong enough presence or gimmick or personality to put them over. And I don't see them as the up-and-coming stars. I just see them as they're just going to be these worker, jobber guys. And, you know, that's what they're going to be. They're going to be jobbers.
All I'm going to say to you is, you take that back!
They're going to be jobbers, dude.
You can't be talking shit on the roads. Do you know who you're talking to?
I am, dog. I got to. I got to keep
it. Ain't a Rhodes ever done nothing wrong in their life.
I'm serious.
I love Cody. Is just, you know what Cody's doing? He's learning. He's learning and he's growing still. He's a young guy. He's only about 22. He's learning. He's growing. He doesn't have the physical size to get to that world title level. You're right.
Yeah.
But he's going to do very well in what he does. And I think being in this tag team with Damian Sandow is great. I love Damian Sandow. I think he's hilarious.
What do you think the Viper can do to become better? Because I see him as another guy who's just kind of in the middle.
Retire.
Yeah, I would be down with that. I'd be fine with that.
You know why I have no use for Randy Orton? Because he's constantly failing drug tests and he went AWOL from the Marines. I've just had a problem with the Iverson.
Oh, so that's more of a personal his life. His personal.
He seems like he's and everything I've read about him is he's a dick in person.
Yeah.
He's a jerk.
Yeah.
I just don't have time for that. Plus, I was never a big fan of Bob Orton.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think Bob was that either. Although all the wrestlers, I mean, you hear him ask who the best worker in the ring was, it's Bob Orton.
Orton. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. For sure. So who is the guy on the roster who is not getting the heat he should be getting? Who's not getting put over like he should? The unsung worker. Who's the guy who just busts his ass in the ring, tells a great story, knows has good psychology, and is just not getting the heat he needs to.
You know, I don't watch the matches close enough to be able to answer that question anymore. I don't watch the matches real close.
Yeah.
I keep just one eye on it. Like, if I know something's going to be a good match, I watch it.
Yeah.
I do have an answer. Wade Barrett.
Really?
Wade Barrett would be in the mix for the world title right now.
Hmm. Yeah.
Wade Barrett's phenomenal.
Yeah.
He's got a phenomenal presence, a phenomenal look. He cuts a phenomenal interview. There's nobody like him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got the size.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a big Wade Barrett fan.
Yeah. Interesting. So let's go. Now let's go back in history. Let's go back in history a little bit. Let's talk some wrestling theory. I'm curious about what you think about wrestling back in the day. So how do you feel? Because we've never really talked about this. We probably have. I've forgotten. How do you feel now after, you know, Dr. D, kayfabe, and everything? How do you feel wrestling? Do you like it now more that it's wrestling entertainment, or do you like it better when it wasn't, when there was kayfabe, when it was, you know, that kind of other era?
You know, I've never experienced the era where you did anything more than just willingly suspend your disbelief. You know, I mean, King, at the first time I saw King Kong Bundy do the avalanche and catch himself with his knees in his hands,
mm-hmm.
I knew it was rigged. I mean, I knew it was fake. Everybody knew, because, you know, you and I, well, you started actually, believe it or not,
I thought it was real. I thought it was real until I moved here.
You started younger than I did, because you started in the Mid-South territory, and Bill Watson beat your ass.
Bill, that's right.
He'd drive to your house and beat the crap out of you.
Oh, this ain't real? Pack. That's an open hand slap. That's what we call it. That's what my mama does to me.
The first I saw, though, was like WrestleMania 2 was the first I ever saw. So, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
When the Chicago Bears were involved in the first wrestling matches I saw.
Right.
When Mr. T was involved in about the third match.
Right. Right.
It's a little different for me.
Yeah.
If I'd have grown up in the South, absolutely I would have probably done some more believing. And I've ran into some believers.
And like, I mean, even today, ran into like some today, people, who are like, no,
as late as 10 years ago, I ran into a person, don't you tell me it's fake. I'm like, one of the top stars is the frickin' Undertaker, who claims to be risen from the dead. How the hell? You know?
There's some serious supernatural crap going on.
If this shit's real.
We gotta have a come to Jesus meeting pronto.
Yeah. I mean, you know. So, I've never really grown up. I say that to say, I've never done anything more than see on tape the era where they were trying to sell it as believable.
Yeah.
Having said that, I do kind of miss the tongue-in-cheek, hey, it's real.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and don't you think that the direction that potentially the company will go is that we're going to expose it even more, and maybe – I mean, would you like the idea of them starting to do segments in the locker room? I mean, not the little thing they do now, like in the hallways, but actually like go even farther into the reality and show the guys, you know, lacing up their boots or bullshitting, you know, before the matches or around the monitor watching someone's promo. I mean, that's the direction it could go.
You want to see it going into like a reality show comp?
Yeah. Well, that's one direction it could go.
I would hate that.
I don't think
I want them to. I like the 2 hour, call it a soap opera, the 2 hour presentation. I'm not a big fan of the backstage stuff anyway.
Yeah,
I would prefer. What I miss is, I think the way it worked best. The way it worked best was, there was two ways it worked best for me. It worked best when it was, because really Monday Night Raw every week is like the pay per views that we used to have. Every week you're watching a basically pay per view, except for the fact it wasn't promoted. It's just, you know, Vicky Guerrero, get me, me.
Right.
So. Way I liked it the best was, you had, hey fans, welcome, it's 3:05 on Saturday afternoon, Welcome to WTBS. I'm your host, Tony Schiavone, along with David Crockett here. And this is time for the great matches. We are going to show you what you missed last week. If you were not at the Omni in Atlanta last Saturday night, you missed when the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, came within just a hair's breadth. In fact, he left the arena that night believing that he was the new NWA World Champion. We're going to show you footage. Plus, we're going to hear from Dusty Rhodes in this hour. Let's take you to the ring with Jimmy, the Boogie Woogie Man Valiant. Okay, that was great. The old studio stuff where they'd stand there, they'd talk. You have two announcers. The guy would come out, they'd do an interview. It wasn't a scripted interview. It was an interview where they came out and they just started talking. I liked that. Right. The other way I liked it was, good evening, fans. Welcome to Primetime Wrestling. I'm your host, Gorilla Monsoon. I'm Bobby the Brain Heathen. We're going to sit here and we're going to take you through all the action that you might have missed this week, plus some great matches from around the country. Mm-hmm. Those are both ways that I really liked it.
Yeah.
The trouble with Monday Night Raw now is definitely the backstage stuff.
Yeah.
They've never explained, how are these people just ignoring that there's a camera right here when they're plotting?
Right, yeah, yeah.
Let me tell you something. I'll tell you what we're going to do. If the next time that Steve Austin sticks his head out there, I got a big surprise for him. And you know what it's going to be? It's going to be this guy right over here. It's the Big Show. And he's got a big baseball bat. So when he comes to the door, we're going to hit him, all right?
Yeah. Well, I think storylines were always important. I mean, you can go back to, you know, the early days. Storylines were important to create that kind of animosity and things like that and all. But I admit, I'll be the first one to say I would rather see more athleticism in the ring, more matches per hour or longer matches per hour. You know, I want to see more stuff in the ring and see more wrestling. And I think that you can do more storytelling and more interesting things in the ring during the match than you could ever do cutting a promo in the backstage. That's
the problem is that they don't have any get-over matches. They don't have any just straight jobbers.
You mean wrestler jobbers? Or
yeah,
like
they
just
they don't just have job matches anymore.
Like Mike Jackson's not out there.
That's right. You know, don't have in this corner.
Well, you got those two black guys. You got the two black guys, those two doofuses.
Yeah, but they're getting ready to put them over for the tag team title before you know it.
Oh,
before you
snap.
Know it, they're going to all of a sudden be competitive.
The full-time players or whatever?
Primetime players, yeah.
Oh, brother.
You don't like the primetime players?
They're okay, actually. I'm bummed that they always get beat down by Kane and freaking Daniel Bryan. Just like they just mop the floor with them every time.
Yeah.
It's like cut a nigga a break. let him do
they
clothes
actually,
like.
About a year ago, there's a funny story there. They had this manager, Abraham Washington. And these guys were like on their way. They were good. They were a great actor. And actually, what they did was they gave Abraham Washington a microphone, and he would actually be sitting there at the ringside cutting jokes and telling and putting the guys over as they were wrestling. That was their gimmick.
I like it. I like that idea.
The trouble is that one night Abraham Jackson made a joke about Kobe Bryant raping people, and it got him fired.
That didn't go over well. See, and that brings me to my last question of the night, and that is, where are the managers? What happened to that component of the show where it was, here's the dogs in the dog fight, you know, and here's the owners and their little moment to kind of put, because that's what I actually liked that. I missed that part of the story. Element.
Well,
you know,
here's the function of the manager. Here's the function of the manager. This is what a manager does. Back classically, a manager was, it was a lot of things. It was a job for a retired wrestler.
Right.
It was.
Like Freddie Blassie. Okay.
Like Freddie Blassie, Lou Albano.
Yep.
Although Lou Albano wasn't much of a wrestler when he was wrestling.
I didn't know Lou was a wrestler. Okay, that's new.
Yeah, he was. He was one of the Sicilians.
Okay.
Anyway, Freddie was a legend.
Oh, yeah. He's huge.
You want to go back and find out. Freddie, until WrestleMania came along, had the biggest gate in history. At the LA Memorial Coliseum in his return match against John Tolis in 1970.
Ding dong.
I mean, he filled the LA Memorial Coliseum. I mean, and anyway.
Yeah.
I think it was the Colosseum.
But
anyway,
but why is their function no longer needed, you think?
Well, let me get back to that.
Okay.
And then their main function was to cut promos for guys who couldn't, like, had a promo. You take a guy like Bobby Eaton and Stan Lane. Stan Lane could, or Dennis Condrey was a better example. Dennis Condrey could cut a promo and make people hate him.
Yeah.
But it was very, it wasn't at a major league level.
Right.
Bobby Eaton could barely talk. So you put Jim Cornette with him.
Right. Yeah. That's what Ryback needs. Ryback needs a manager.
Right. Well, here's the trouble. It's because a couple things happened. One, they started replacing all the managers with valets. So all the managers.
You mean the girls? The girls?
Started having have a pair of boobs.
Right. Well,
that was one thing. But the real thing, if you notice what happened, is they started writing all the promos for the guys. So the guys didn't have to think of something to say.
Yeah.
They'd have to just go out there and memorize. Okay, so I'm going to put this.
Right, right. So you're saying there's actually the backstage writers took the place of the kind of improvisationalist actors, which were the managers.
Right. Because if you think. Think about it. And the other thing is that Bobby Heenan, look at Bobby Heenan. Hulk Hogan didn't feud, in my opinion, Andre the Giant, Paul Orndorff, King Kong Bundy, Big John Studd. He feuded Bobby Heenan for that whole time.
Hmm.
That whole feud, if you think about it, from about WrestleMania 2, right when it started, the King Kong Bundy angle, all the way through WrestleMania 4, where he finally beat on, where Savage won the belt, and then they end up with the Savage Hogan feud. He feuded Heenan that whole time.
Hmm. Right.
I mean, right? I mean, that's who was always the guy sitting there. Oh yeah, you beat Bundy. Well, guess what? I've got this guy, and you know, and he'd always have, you know, Haku or Harley Race or somebody, you know, to fight him.
Right.
And finally, the big coup was him getting Andre, of course.
Yep.
So, anyway, the manager, you know, I would love there to be a manager's comeback. And they are making a comeback. Paulie is bringing the manager back. Bray Wyatt is bringing the manager back. They got this new guy they just debuted in NXT, some French dude, who I'm already prepared to can't stand. On the first did you see Alex NXT at all?
No, I saw the match with Generico against Cesaro or whatever. That's all I saw. That's all I watched.
Which, by the way, that's a classic feud from Ring of Honor: El Generico and Claudio Castagnoli.
Oh, that's a real feud. Like they actually wrestled before.
Oh
back
yeah,
in the day?
They were Claudio Castagnoli.
I didn't know he was a Ring of Honor guy.
Cesaro was a Ring of Honor guy. The guy from with the black hair with the skunk stripe and the shield. He was Tyler Rex.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. He was a big... Tyler Black was his name in Ring of Honor.
Huh.
Him and Daniel Bryan had some classic matches when Daniel Bryan was Bryan Danielson.
Uh-huh.
CM Punk is a Ring of Honor guy.
Right.
A lot of those guys came that direction. But, anyway, yeah, so there's this new guy who I'm already prepared to just have no use for.
Yeah.
But, you know, I hope the manager comes back because there's a place for it.
I do, too. I mean, quickly, I got 5 more minutes than we got to end this episode. But, you know, okay, let's take out Bobby and let's take out Jimmy Cornette, right? Let's take out those two.
Well, we can't have this discussion then.
Oh, come on.
You can't have the discussion of who was the best manager without saying Heenan and Cornette.
Okay, we did. Now we've said those. Now let's just talk about Slick. Let's talk about Mr. Fuji. Let's talk about you know, Jimmy. Well, I don't really like Jimmy Hart, but he did some work. There were some
Jimmy
good things
Hart
he did.
Jimmy Hart was good, but I didn't enjoy watching him.
Yeah,
There's
He
not
was just.
it's just like Mr. Fuji. I enjoyed the hell out of watching Mr.
Oh,
Fuji.
Mr. Fuji's awesome.
But he
Mr.
was
Fuji's
not good.
awesome.
He was not good.
Yeah.
I mean, Mr. Fuji, the classic
He's
promo.
awesome.
I love Mr. Fuji's classic promo with Demolition. Oh, Palace of Pain, my Demolition. First they're gonna make you suffer, then they're gonna make you more suffer. I love that guy. I
He's
love
good.
Slick, same thing.
Slick
Not
is
really a good manager, but damn if he wasn't entertaining.
Yeah, and that's what I want. I want really charismatic, entertaining, you know, people that the camera loves next to really sharp, athletic wrestlers, you know, who know their stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but we're getting there, maybe. I don't know.
And Paulie, you know, he was a classic manager. He's in that that list of top managers of all time as Paulie Dangerously. You know, he had
yeah.
the Dangerous Alliance. He managed Stone
That's true.
Cold. He managed.
That's
MJ.
True. That's true.
He managed all those guys. And
That's
then,
true.
You know, you want to see a classic one, just a classic Paulie. It's actually it is my favorite War Games match. And it's coming out. There's a War Games DVD coming out really soon. Which I think
is there?
We should both get a hold of and review. That would be fun.
Oh, that would be a lot of fun.
In fact, I'd love it if we just found some time to hang out and watch the whole thing together. That'd be cool, too.
That would be great. I would love to watch him wrestling with you.
But the War Games match it's the Dangerous Alliance, which was, I think it was the Freebirds. Yeah, it was. It was the Freebirds. It was Michael Hayes, Terry Gordy, and Buddy Roberts. I think it was Jimmy Garvin. So it was Terry Gordy, Michael Hayes, and Jimmy Garvin, and their partners were the Midnight. Was it the Midnights? No, the Midnights were on the other side. So, the Samoan SWAT team. That's who it was. That's who it was, because that's who Paulie managed, was the Samoan SWAT team. So it was those five guys against the Road Warriors, Dr. Death Steve Williams, and the Midnight Express. And the Midnight Express were good guys. That match is so good, mainly because of Paulie, Jim Cornette, Michael Hayes, and Jim Ross. It's comedy. Paulie keeps going over and screwing around with Jim Ross and yelling at him. And Jim Ross, would somebody check this guy for a ticket stub? Boy, he sure looks nice in his daddy's suit. Those were just classics. I mean, Michael Hayes, you know, talking about, let me in there. What, I have to go in? Damn it. And, you know, Paulie trying to get over behind the referee's back. It is it's a masterpiece. Plus, it's got my all-time favorite guy is Dr. Dusty Williams. So
there you go.
I love watching that guy in the ring.
He was great. Well, thank you very much, Kevin, and thank you all for listening tonight. We got almost about just a little under an hour, which I think is perfect timing. And that way we can save some of our comments and thoughts for the next time. Kevin.
Well, damn it, I'm going to tell you right now, Andy. I'm going to tell you right now. We didn't even brush the surface of this damn thing. I want to have you back on the show. I want to do another hour with you. But before we do, we're going to do a little business. And now, I know y'all been hearing us talk about all these supplements we're on. I know you hear
That's
us talking
true.
About we're on Lemon Pledge and Arm & Hammer Crystal Burst dishwasher soap. And you think to yourself, well, hell, my dishes get plenty clean. But is your table clean enough?
That's right.
If your table's over 21 years old, your table's not clean enough. So what you got to do is you got to go down to the store and pick yourself up some Lemon Pledge and shine your table up. I tell you right now, you be shining that table up. Every time you go by it, you'll be feeling so good. You'll be at full salute. And if it don't happen like that, you can get your money back.
Get your money back. You know, there's another thing you can do, too. You know, sometimes you like to buy books and stuff on Amazon. You can go to Amazon and buy books and use my promo code.
Now, hold on. We're not telling you to go buy nothing.
We're not telling
but
you to
go
buy
nothing.
But if you do buy something, you use the promo code and you help support the podcast. Okay? It doesn't add anything more to your bill.
Now that
just a little bit of that money goes into our fund.
You know we gotta do that, right? By the way,
Actually, I've been trying to email Amazon to do that because it's really simple, and we need to do that just so we can do that. So actually, that last part, we actually will set that up, and I will send you a promo code. So, guys, when you buy something on Amazon, help us out. It's probably like 2 cents, but hell, we'll take it
So
because we
listen,
need.
we're going to be advertising this on a few more places. We're not going to go completely wrestling centric. We will still
We
kind of,
won't.
next week we'll probably talk about a few other things like the Man of Steel.
Yep, we'll talk about some other things. We'll talk about the summer. We'll talk about Comic Cons coming up. I'll give you guys an update on Pariah, things like that. Where can people talk to you and listen to you, Kevin? Where can they get a hold of you?
You go on ahead and get on your little computer there and you fire off an email to KevinLeeHarris@gmail.com.
All right, that's KevinLeeHarris@gmail.com. And me, you can get a hold of me at. You can get us on our Facebook page at the Biscuit Show Podcast. That's the best way.
And you can also find me on
Like our
Twitter
page.
at HarrisKevinLee.
And I'm on Twitter at Andy Salazar. So there you go. Thank you all very much for listening to our show. Appreciate it, Kevin. It was great. And we'll catch you later.
We'll catch your ass on down the road.